So, we need someone who can act enough like the prince to take his place in public and perform the rituals. It's as simple as that.
Ah, I see.
He didn't believe for one moment that Roderick was telling him the whole truth, but for the time being, he might as well act as though he did. After all, if he'd learned anything as an actor, it was that the aristocracy hadn't a clue as to the real value of money. You could charge them extortionate amounts for performances, not to mention expenses, and they didn't even blink. If he played his cards right and watched his back, 10,000 ducats could be just the beginning.
Assuming I was interested in this job, there are some obvious difficulties. What about appearance, for example? How similar are the prince and I in looks? There's a limit to what I can do with makeup.
Oh, that won't be a problem. I have a small talent for sorcery. A simple glamour spell, and you'll become an exact double of the prince. Much more important is your being able to convince Victor's friends and family that you are who you seem. For that, we need an actor of your considerable talent. Our agents have been traveling throughout the land, searching for someone suitable. And you can imagine how delighted we were when word came back to us that you might be available. To be honest, we hadn't even heard you were in Red Heart.
Every career has its ups and downs. If you'd asked me this at the same time last year, I'd have had to turn you down. The pressure of work was just too great. But, luckily for you, at the moment I'm at liberty to give you my full attention.
This time last year, you were in a debtor's prison in Hillsdown. You haven't appeared in a major theater in almost 3 years. You're just another strolling player, Jordan, and if you don't want this job, we can find a dozen just like you to take your place.
There is no one like me, Argent. I'm the great Jordan, and if I hear one more word out of you that I don't like, I'll double my fee. Now, Roderick, this glamour spell that's going to make me look like Victor, can it be removed easily when the job's finished?
Of course. Now, my dear fellow, we are in something of a hurry. It will take us at least a week's hard traveling to reach Castle Midnight, and the rituals are due to begin shortly after that. I'm afraid we must insist on knowing your answer now.
10,000 ducats. Maybe more. A chance to start over again. A role that could be a real challenge. Jordan knew there had to be a catch, but 10,000 ducats?
I'm your man. We can leave as soon as I've bought fresh provisions.
We already have everything you'll need. Roderick, start the spell. We've wasted enough time in this filthy hole.
Ooh, wait just a minute. You want to cast the glamour spell right here and now, where everyone can see us?
No one will see us in this light. The spell is quick and quite painless, I assure you. There's nothing at all to worry about.
Jordan looked suspiciously at Roderick. There's nothing to worry about was the kind of thing the traveling dentist said as he knelt on your chest and poked his pliers into your mouth. But he couldn't argue. He'd agreed to take on the role, and the spell was a necessary part of it. He had just thought he'd get a bit more warning. Roderick took Jordan's silence for assent and raised his left hand.
Clap to our tensor.
Jordan caught a twinge of electricity in the air as Roderick muttered, and he wondered if perhaps he'd made a mistake after all. Count Roderick locked eyes with Jordan and made a sharp twisting motion with his left hand. Jordan's skin suddenly began to itch and creep. His face twitched convulsively. He started to lift his hands to his face and found he couldn't. His whole body had locked solidly in place. He couldn't even blink his eyes. He struggled furiously, to no avail, and then his anger gave way to panic as the first changes began. His bones creaked and groaned. His flesh shuddered, rising and falling like a series of ripples on the surface of a pond. He tried to move or run or scream and couldn't. His panic rose another notch when he found his breathing was becoming increasingly shallow. Sweat poured off of him. His vertebrae popped one after the other as his back stretched, giving him an extra 2 inches in height. His fingers tingled painfully as his hands grew long and slender. New cords of muscle crawled along his chest and arms and back. His legs grew thick and sturdy. His face trembled as his features lost definition and then grew firm again in a new shape. And as suddenly as it had begun, the paralysis was gone, and his flesh grew still again. Jordan swayed on his feet, and Sir Gawain was quickly there at his side.
I've got you. How are you feeling?
Strange.
Well, you should. It's because you're Victor now.
Huh?
Jordan stared in something like horror at his hands. He lifted them up before his face and looked at them, turning them back and forth before him. They weren't his hands. The length, shape, and shade were wrong. But the fingers flexed obediently at his command, and he could feel the cool of the evening moving over them. He lowered his hands and looked down at his body. His clothes no longer fit him. He was taller now, and his arms and legs were longer. His shirt was tightly stretched across his new chest and shoulders, and his belt hung loosely about his flatter stomach. Jordan felt a brief surge of vertigo as his mind refused to accept the new body it found itself in, and then the feeling died away as he brought it under control. Jordan was used to being different people at different times. He was an actor. He looked at Count Roderick, who bowed formally.
Your Highness, would you like to see a mirror?
Yes.
Argent produced a small hand mirror from a pocket in his cloak and handed it to Jordan. The face in the glass was traditionally handsome in a dark, saturnine way. The jet-black hair was thick and wavy and showed off the firm, bony plates of the face. The eyes were a surprisingly mild brown, but the mouth was flat and uncompromising. Someone had broken the nose a long time ago, and it hadn't been set quite right. The owner of the face looked to be in his mid-twenties, but there was something about the eyes and mouth that made him look older.
Not bad, actually. This is quite an expressive face, full of personality. I can do something with this face.
Oh, that's good to hear. You're adjusting rather quickly to your new body.
You know, when you said a glamour spell, Roderick, I thought you meant some kind of an illusion.
Illusions are too easily seen through, especially at Castle Midnight. This spell is fixed until such time as it is specifically reversed. Physically, you are now an exact duplicate of Prince Victor of Redheart.
Jordan looked at Argent and Sir Gawain.
Well, what do you think? Will I pass?
No one will be able to tell the difference. You're even beginning to sound like him.
Well, the voice is right. But you'll have to learn Victor's way of speaking. The prince has been away from court for almost 4 years, and we can use that to explain away some differences in behavior, but you'll have to study his background every chance you get. You screw up on this, and we're all dead.
Roderick, I thought you said we had Prince Victor's permission for this little masquerade.
We do.
Roderick shot an angry glance at Gawain. The knight ignored him. Roderick looked seriously at Jordan, and the actor tensed up inside. He knew that look. It was that particular mixture of sincerity and hesitation that meant he was about to be told something necessary, but unpleasant.
The situation at Castle Midnight is rather complicated at present. King Malcolm died 4 weeks ago, some say by poison. His daughter, the Lady Gabrielle, found him dead in his chambers. It's not clear yet which of his three sons will succeed him, so it's vital that no one finds out that Victor is ill and vulnerable. Once he's well again, he'll take over the necessary rituals and public appearances, but until then, you'll take his place. It's really quite straightforward. However, should you be exposed as an impostor at any time, Victor's brothers will undoubtedly have you killed. Princes tend to be very sensitive about the use of doubles.
I can imagine. Look, are you sure you can get me away safely afterward?
We'll take care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything but your performance.
So, King Malcolm is dead. All those campaigns he led, all those battles he fought in, and he finally dies in his own castle, poisoned.